For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
1 o'clock hour, Cody Eagle hanging out here and St. Joe at Chiefs training camp wrapped up, an hour and a half or so ago. We had Drew Tranquil, Chiefs linebacker, join us. If you missed that conversation, we'll bring that back for you around 1:30 here, about a half hour on the show. We asked him a little bit about, you're going into this season as the true starter now. You are coming off a ring. We also got some pickleball advice for him as Cody and I are playing in a pickleball grudge match at PickleCon.
I didn't even know we had a grudge.
You and I aren't competing against each other. You and I are the same team. A grudge match against KMBZ.
No, I'm saying I didn't even know we had a grudge against KMBZ.
I don't know. They're calling it a grudge match. They're calling
should we
it
say some mean things about them so at least it's got a little juice?
I don't know. We should get Dana and Parks.
Dana did tell lies about it. She was spreading lies. So, you know, we do have a grudge. She was spreading lies about me related to the Cody and Gold golf experience.
That's true.
Lies.
That's true.
I couldn't play because of my finger. I offered to go.
So
she's making it seem like I ditched her. Failed.
So Tranquil gave us some advice on pickleball, among other things. You'll hear that conversation coming up around 1:30. Let's talk about Harrison Butker, though, a little bit, because he gets the new deal yesterday. 4 years on an extension for $25.6 million, $17.8 million guaranteed, $6.4 million per year. He's now the highest-paid kicker in the league, highest-paid kicker in NFL history. That's just where the money is
going now.
That's
typically how it goes if you're the highest-paid in the league actively.
Correct. And, look, it makes a lot of sense. I understand you would rather not have to pay kickers and punters big-time money. I think this is why they let Tommy Townsend walk as well. They were not going to have the highest-paid punter and the highest-paid kicker in the league. And Harrison Butker, let's just call it like it is, over the last five-plus years, he's been the best kicker. Biggest kicks, most memorable kicks have been from Harrison Butker in the NFL. And so they're going to compensate that player, and now you ensure that you have a trusted, reliable kicker that has made so many big-time kicks here throughout your dynasty run.
I told you, generally, 98% of the time, I am anti-paying kicker or punter or running back, really under any circumstances. I will make occasional exceptions. I don't think the 49ers are fools for paying Christian McCaffrey. He is the exception. He might be the only exception. He might be the only running back in the league I'd pay that kind of money. There's not a single other running back that I think I genuinely consider it with. And so, yeah, if you're going to make an exception for a kicker, Butker would probably, or Tucker would be the only two. I mean, I wouldn't do it for anybody else because I can find you kickers who have put up similar regular season numbers, or I'll say 95% of the regular season numbers for 50% of the cost, which makes it cost prohibitive. Makes sense to actually go that route. But when you factor in the fact that he has had to kick a lot of big-time clutch kicks, and he has done that successfully, the deal makes sense. I'd always be a little hesitant to give a kicker a bunch of money, but, I mean, it seems like a pretty low-risk deal. What factors in now is when you have the highest-paid kicker in the league, does that just stop you from having a well-paid third safety, a well-paid second safety? Does this impact Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Nick Bolton? There are other players on this team we expected or thought could get a new deal this offseason. The one that I thought would be done by now is Creed.
Agreed.
That seemed like a lock, a layup. He was on the perfect all-pro path his first couple of years. He's your all-pro center behind your, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback. It seems like that's a relationship you'd like to protect, and the numbers on those are pretty squared away. Look at what the highest paid center is making right now and just pay him that plus 10%.
Yeah, I think Creed Humphrey not getting a deal done before this happened or wasn't the only or first deal of camp. That part's surprising. I don't think this changes the likelihood, though, of Creed Humphrey getting a deal. Because, yes, in the kicker world, this is a very nice deal. It's the highest paid deal for a kicker in NFL history. But we're still talking about a fairly small dollar amount compared to other positions. You know, even in that's also including that center. If you're the highest paid center, that is typically a little smaller deal than you would see for other positions. Right? It's not like the highest paid center is getting $20 million a year. It's
probably
not,
makes 16.
He
makes less than. I mean, guard money's gotten out of control above center.
So
another reason why I'd be willing to pay them top money.
So I believe Creed Humphrey still gets a deal done. I don't think this has any bearing on that. You know, the snapping issues from last year. We've said. I think you're in agreement with me. If they were really concerned about the snapping, then yeah, they won't give him an extension.
But I mean, it's like an 8-game sample size of an entire lifetime.
And there has not been, in practice at least, any snapping problems. Not one.
Someone says, Andy lets centers walk, can't have the highest paid center. This is the argument, because he has others.
They haven't had the franchise
Hudson
quarterback, though.
Yeah, they've had, that's part of it. And I would say that not all the centers he have let walk would be created equal. Because again, Creed Humphrey is the best of the best. There's a difference there. He's also let kickers walk. You know, when Cairo Santos was in this, when he brought Butker over here because of the injury, he had a perfectly fine kicking game. When Cairo Santos took over the job, the kicker they had at the time was fine. He's let kickers walk too. They just tend to hold on to those things because if they truly value you, the walking part comes out of the question. And with Creed, they've never talked like they don't think he's one of the best players at his position in the entire sport. I think it's fairly obvious based on anyone who follows the sport with any amount of, like, you don't even have to take our word for it. Just pay attention to anybody who talks about the league. They all think Creed Humphrey's the best center in the league. And I know the snaps bother us, and they should have bothered you late in last season. But I still think that that's a solvable off-season problem because the only time he's had that problem was around the midway point of last year.
The only wrinkle in all this could be, the only possible wrinkle would be, all right, we look at the two names we just brought up, Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey. We know where the guard market is. The Denver Broncos just gave Quinn Meinerz the third highest paid salary for a guard in football. Trey Smith's better than him. Trey Smith's getting more money than him, whether it's from Kansas City or elsewhere. Are the Chiefs willing to pay Trey Smith that dollar amount? Knowing they're already paying Joe Tooney money, although his deal looks better and better, he's got a year or two left in Kansas City max, I would say. So maybe by the time they pay Trey Smith, the money for Joe Tooney is no longer there. But in this scenario, if they don't want to pay Trey Smith, that's where we get back to a conversation you and I had pre-draft, which was, would they be willing to move Creed to guard, and he'd be one of the best guards in football, and then they have
Hunter Norzad
be center. That's even riskier, though, guys, having a second-year player.
You could just convert Norzad now, you know?
Right. Why not make him the guard?
And not deal with the challenges that come with center, because snapping is not the only job. There's a million other things that center do well. Creed Humphrey essentially never lets anyone near Patrick Mahomes under any circumstance. And what do we talk about when we talk about what are the ways to get pressure under the court on the quarterback immediately, Gold? Up the middle. Pressure in his face is what every football coach has said to me about pressure forever. And that's what Creed Humphrey prevents. Why do you think Patrick Mahomes is able to buy himself more time? Spin outside the tackle if somebody gets beat. Make movement. Get sacked less than just about any other quarterback in the league. No pressure up the middle. How do you think he delivers that? No pressure up the middle. Those things matter. And that's why, and I'm not just saying this because we did the Creed is good. I think that'd be easy to think that, but Creed is great at what he does.
Yeah, Cody's due 2%, and the show's due about 1% of the new deal. That's what it is.
I will, you know, for as much as it's like you can't have this many high-paid players in the league, you know who fights? There's a couple of teams every year that fight that knowledge, and that is, this year it's the 49ers, of course. Debo's a $28 million cap hit. Charvarius Ward is one of the highest-paid centers. Nick Bosa's one of the highest-paid outside linebackers or defensive ends. Ayuk, now they might trade him, but he's one of the highest-paid wide receivers as well. Fred Warner is the highest-paid linebacker when he was paid. Kittle was the highest-paid tight end when he was paid. Drake Greenlaw was the third highest-paid outside linebacker. Christian McCaffrey, highest-paid running back. You can't tell me that they can't have seven guys who are the highest-paid at their position on their roster. Teams do manage to do it. I don't think that that's the good strategy going across the board all the time. But they can afford to pay.
You can do it, but
they can afford to pay Creed and Trey if they want.
You can do it, and I still think. You know, Creed likely gets an extension, and certainly one of the two is, if not both, Creed and Trey. But what you're saying, yes, you can do it, but is that how you extend out your dynasty? You know, and that's the biggest credit I think that we've been able to give.
Whatever they choose is the way they extend it, because they've been very successful.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, their path for extending this out, it's not just that they had Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. It's the drafting. It's being smart on which guys they let walk, right? They believe it was the right decision to let L'Jarius Sneed walk, or trade him, I should say, to Tennessee. Not that they don't think he's one of the best corners in football. They couldn't afford him, plus pay Chris Jones. Plus, they are confident that Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson, guys they drafted, not very high, by the way, can come in and give them a somewhat comparable play.
You trade
in
some,
a combined effort.
You trade some, you pay some, you let some walk.
Yeah.
That's and it's probably, honest to God, by successful NFL team standards, isn't it probably just like third? Like, think of all the guys, like, third of your players you pay, a third of the players you trade, and a third of the players, maybe not trade, but and then a third of the players you just let walk.
But this is where it gets complicated, you know, when you're paying your quarterback, though. You know, Brock Purdy's due money next year, and so all of a sudden San Francisco, maybe that's why they're not going to probably pay Brandon Ayuk, Cody, is because they're going to have an issue with Brock Purdy's making big-time money. It's why the Chiefs winning a Super Bowl when Mahomes was on his rookie deal was so big. Now they've shown they also could build a roster while he's making big-time money. The Bills did not capitalize while Josh Allen was not making the big money. The Cincinnati Bengals have not capitalized while Joe Burrow was making rookie money.
Yeah.
Go down the list. Like, you know, we can keep going. That's why it's so important for C.J. Stroud and the Texans. Like, you got everything that you need right now. You went out and signed Daniil Hunter. You went and traded for Stephon Diggs. You can make those moves because Stroud is not making big money. In about 2 years, he is. Did you capitalize while he wasn't making money? Because it's even more challenging to build a contender the way the Chiefs have when you're having the money assigned to your quarterback. And that's what makes what Brett Veach has done more impressive, is because he has shown he knows how to win and assemble a roster when you're not paying your quarterback, and he's now done it when you have paid your quarterback.
Yeah, it's just a little – that's why – but he's a unicorn. Like, other teams have to figure it out when they're not paying their quarterback. That's why, going back to the Ayuk thing, it makes no sense. I'm so confused by their decision to do this. This is their last truly cheap year with Brock Purdy. Now, he's not going to be overly expensive in those first couple of years. You know how it works itself.
But
up.
He might get $60 million in about 2 years, which
so,
is wild to think about. But especially if he takes the Niners to another NFC title game or Super Bowl.
Why are the 49ers doing this? Is the relationship just so broken? Brandon Ayuk, was it him or Debo that, like, held up a sign in a club that, like, nodded at the person that said they wanted out?
There was, you know, like the
that might have been Debo.
The girls at the club, you know, they have the shot girls. I don't know if that's the right name.
Yeah.
They're holding the little fire sticks or, you know, pyro things. I don't know what the official name is. Yeah, and they had one of those light-up signs, and it was like, and he shook his head when it said Debo to.
Yeah. But so is the relationship Ayuk to?
Yeah.
I think that one might have been Debo. I think they both have requested a trade at some point. Is the relationship so broken with Brandon Ayuk that they're not willing? Because technically they have 2 years of control. They could franchise him too. They could just trade him at the end of this year, like the Chiefs had the option to do with a guy like Chris Jones. They didn't. They eventually got a long-term contract worked out. But why wouldn't you keep Ayuk, Debo, McCaffrey all together for 1 year? The only argument I would make is if they get the deal done with the Browns, at least they are still an incredibly talented offense. That does change the math a little for me, I'll admit.
For those just tuning in, the report out of the Bay Area is there's framework for Brandon Ayuk to get traded, framework on a deal with both the Browns and the Patriots. The Steelers have been reportedly maybe in the mix as well. And Brandon Ayuk needs a new deal wherever he gets traded. So the only leverage Ayuk has is that he could theoretically block a trade because he doesn't agree to the terms of the new deal, right? But the Niners otherwise have every single bit of leverage because they don't have to trade him, like you said, Cody. They could have him play this year on a team that could go to the Super Bowl again and then tag and trade him in the offseason. But the only part where Ayuk can make this challenging is if the Niners are now actually set and they're like, no, we're trading you, dude. But he doesn't want to go to Cleveland. Cleveland is offering him a deal, and he's like, no, I don't want to go there. That's where he can make this interesting. And in that deal with Cleveland, the Niners would get Amari Cooper back, who has 1 year left on his contract,
and
plus picks. If I'm the Browns,
why make that deal?
You're getting a younger receiver that you're going to have to pay $30 million a year while trading Amari Cooper in his final year. I just don't know if that makes sense from the Browns' perspective, and giving up picks.
The Steelers are the interesting one. But the Steelers are so funny. I respect this about the Steelers, and it's also maybe an Achilles heel at this point of where they currently are. The Steelers will do anything to win. They're about winning. That whole franchise is about winning. It's been about winning their entire lives. Even with Russell Damn Wilson at quarterback, they're still going to try to make it about winning, and they realize they don't have enough weapons for the level of quarterback play they're going to get, and they realize that if they could get Ayuk, and the reports are that maybe they don't have enough ammunition now in order to do it, but if they could get Ayuk, they're like, we're just going to do it, and we're going to be about Russell Wilson. I'm like, are you crazy? Are you nuts? But it's hard. Because I also don't like that sports franchises have convinced us that you have to be bad to be good. Like, that you have to stink for a while in order to get enough picks to be good. Because the Steelers have been the antithesis of that this entire time. To be honest right now, you should stop trying so damn hard, because you can put in many pieces of talent around Russell Wilson as you want. You're not getting anywhere.
This is where it's weird, because Mike Tomlin's a great coach, and that's why they've overachieved in some years, where in mm-hmm. most coaches in other years they would be a 6-win team. Instead, they're a crappy wild card team. I'm with you where, on one hand, that's great, because Mike Tomlin's really good. On the other hand, though,
it holds you hostage.
You're in a bad spot. You're never getting out of the funk that you're in. And you're in that middle road, which is the worst place to be in the NFL. At some point, we can all acknowledge that two things can be true. We can say that Mike Tomlin's a great coach, and he would be hired in an instant. An instant. If the Steelers moved on. But also, at some point, the dude's got to win a playoff game. And it has been a long time since he won a playoff game.
Yeah.
So both can be true. We can acknowledge how great he's been, but also... Would that reset of ours already have happened and been a much better spot if you had just taken a year and you just took
the L's?
But teams just don't operate that way.
I know.
Because
if you're
a general manager and you're a head coach,
Omar Khan and Tomlin are not worried about getting fired.
But if you're there's a lot of people in Pittsburgh that aren't.
2 years ago, maybe, I don't know.
But if you're a GM and a head coach, you can't play the game the way where you only have in most cases 2 or 3 years to figure it out max before they run you out of town. And that's the challenge.
Yeah. I mean, you do run into issues with that, and I understand. It just, this Ayuk deal makes no sense. If you told me right now, and we don't have a...
Let's see, the framework of the deal, there is no trade that's happened yet. The idea of the trade.
We don't have apples to apples comparison. But let's just say Rashee Rice is in the final year of his deal. He's going to let him go? He's going to, just right, a month before the season, you're going to be like, see you later.
Well, is Rashee Rice a top 10, top 12 receiver in football? That's where Ayuk is. You know what I mean?
If he is, then no.
But if he's in this hypothetical, if he's just the 30th best receiver, then yeah, maybe.
that's a big swing. That's why I said on this team we don't have an apples to apples comparison. They waited until after the season to move Tyreek Hill. They waited until they put a whole damn season on tape. Trying to make things happen before they tried to make a move.
Someone on the text line 913-586-7610 said, would you trade a second round pick and a fourth along with Kadarius Toney for Brandon Ayuk?
Yes.
That's not getting it done. Not getting it done. Yes, I would do that. And I would pay Ayuk $29 million a year. But here's the only problem. Do we believe the Chiefs, the same Chiefs who were willing to trade Tyreek Hill, who was still playing at a very high level then and now, they weren't willing to pay him $28 million. We think they're going to pay Brandon Ayuk $30 million? I just don't buy it. I don't buy it, man.
I'll tell you, I do in a second. But if you're the Chiefs, it doesn't really actually make sense. You got Hollywood on 1 year deal. You still got multiple years left of Rashee Rice. And you just drafted a first round rookie wide receiver. Now, I'd love it because to me, it's the easiest sell in the world. For this year, you go from being a pretty good team with some pretty good weapons to the number one most talented offense in the league. A top 10 running back, number one tight end, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, and Brandon Ayuk at wide receiver. You would be the most talented team on offense.
But then who are you not paying next year?
In the entire NFL. I don't know, Trey and Creed. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
And Nick Bolton and somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, that's the trickle-out effect.
What I'm saying is it doesn't fundamentally make sense based on where they are at wide receiver. But for just, the pure Madden craziness of that would be your offense.
Yeah,
you just heard me, what I said their offense would be. They'd be they'd score 30. They would score 35 points a game. I'm not going to be hyperbolic because I could say 50 or 60. They would score 35 points a game with that offense. There's just no way they wouldn't. I think they would set the single season record for points per game.
Oh, you said it in the fun world of Madden fantasy football. I'm all about it. But I find it hard to believe that unless it's a homegrown guy again, I don't believe the Chiefs 3 years after not paying Tyreek Hill, who is still a top five receiver in football, are then going to turn around and now pay and trade in this hypothetical for Brandon Ayuk and give him $30 million.
In a funny way, it would like set them up to, it would almost make me think that they were just, by doing, if the Chiefs did that, if out of nowhere, and the 49ers would be insane. The one team who's been keeping you from winning Super Bowls is the Chiefs. They keep standing in your damn way, and then you give them your number one wide receiver. It'd be crazy.
Yeah, someone said, the same person that texted in the scenario says, the trade makes sense. Tony gone next year, Brown gone next year. Yeah, what I'm saying is the Niners are not accepting your trade proposal, man.
For the Chiefs,
not,
it makes sense, sure.
I'm with you. Like, I would love it, too. The Niners are not taking a second, a fourth in Kadarius freaking Tony.
Tony might be in the street in a week. You don't know.
Yeah. So you're giving him a second and a fourth round pick?
No.
Oh, and a second and a fourth round pick that might be picked 32 each round.
That's the other part of the problem.
No
it's
chance.
Not way off of the compensation base, because you and I have learned that what you get out of wide receivers or what you get in trade is not always
right. But the Browns, the Browns' second round pick is just worth way more.
It is significant, way significantly.
And also, they just don't even want Tony. Like, you don't. Nobody wants you to throw in Tony in a trade at this point. I mean, why? Like. Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Between the teams, back to the actual trades that are being discussed right now, Patriots for Ayuk, Steelers for Ayuk, Browns for Ayuk.
Patriots make all the sense in the world because you need something with Drake May. Right now you're setting him up for failure.
Correct. Now, if I'm Ayuk, is that where I want to go? Probably not, but that makes the most sense.
He says he wants a check. He didn't say he wants to be with a winner. He said he wants a check.
That makes the most sense if you're the Patriots. You trade Kendrick Bourne back to the Niners as well, and all of a sudden Drake May has a legit, we think, number one wide receiver.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a single team that it makes the most sense for, it's the Patriots. Because as it sits right now, and I don't remember who was telling us this, maybe it was Matt Verderam when he came on our show here from camp, he had said the thing that's accurate about this, which is, what are they doing? We've all learned at least one valuable lesson with rookie quarterbacks. Don't set them up like Bryce Young. Don't make their number one target Adam Thielen and second round Jonathan Mingo. Give them a real, legitimate weapon. You should Caleb Williams the situation if you can. Give him Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Rome Odunze and just load and Cole Kmet and give him as many weapons as possible. But sure as hell don't load him up the way that Kendrick Bourne is your number one wide receiver in New England. By the time the guy,
I think Jacoby Brissett might
fine
starting week one.
Maybe.
We didn't get to all 32 today.
Joe that Milton,
was,
baby.
My all 32 today was going to be, can we stop with the Joe Milton crap, though? Joe Milton, it was
oh,
a
you don't want to fall in love with Joe Milton.
Well, here's his
three. Brock Purdy was a seven.
Can we just be realistic? Like, so, if, for those that don't know, in New England, there's been reports that Drew mentioned the name. Joe Milton III has been looking better, reportedly, than Drake May in camp. Okay. And some have been like, well, maybe Joe Milton will start week one. Can we stop?
No chance.
Stop. Joe Milton was drafted sixth round. Let me just make it, whether you, this is just how it works in the year one at least. Joe Milton was drafted in the sixth round. Drake May was drafted in the top five, right, or whatever it was.
Top three.
Top three. Yeah. There is no way they're taking in a rookie season the sixth round guy over the guy they spent their first round pick on. And Jacoby Brissett starting week one if it's not Drake May.
And Gold, if you watched college football, Joe Milton would throw the ball in practice 80 yards. He throws the ball like 85 yards in there.
He's got
the strongest arm in the league. He might even have a stronger arm than Patrick Mahomes. But he, when you watch him play, you don't know where the ball is going. It could go 85 yards.
That's a little problematic.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Drake may not start week one. I actually think there's a chance he doesn't. But it's not going to be Joe Milton.
It will not
be Jacoby Brissett for 3 or 4 weeks. And then
this is the Jared Stidham thing. What are you wasting your time for?
Well, Drake May's not ready in their mind.
Just throwing away NFL snaps.
With the crappy receiver core that we're talking about there.
Yeah, that part. I do agree with that part. You might be hanging your boy out to dry. There's not a single person to throw to in New England once again. Belichick really ran that roster into the damn ground before he walked out, didn't he?
And now he's just chilling with the, 24, 25-year-old?
Are they still there?
Yep. I don't remember. I can't remember how old she is.
How long did we say that was going to last, by the way?
I said as long as he doesn't coach again, it'll last for at least a little past the football season. If he's coaching in February, then they're done. He's not going to be coaching while dating the 24-year-old. No chance.
I don't think so.
Conceptually, it still is just the weirdest thing to hear.
I don't like it.
I know it's happened for a little bit, but it's been going on for a little bit. But
Jordan Hudson, I believe, is her name. Yeah.
Got it. Oh, Bill. He's probably enjoying retirement. He's got a massive
check from Underdog Fantasy, too.
He's going to do a weekly show.
Yeah. I'm sure he's having a great offseason.
But that check wasn't small.
No, definitely not. All right, up next, guys, we continue broadcasting from Chiefs training camp inside the Comcast business tent, powering possibilities. We'll get you caught up on what's trending. Plus, you'll hear our conversation with Drew Tranquil. He gave us advice for pickleball. He also told us a little bit about what he's seeing out there from some of these running backs in pass protection, including improved.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Mid from Pacheco.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
We continue broadcasting here in St. Joe from Chiefs training camp. Be back out here tomorrow as well. That'll be the final practice before the team has a couple days back in Kansas City off, and then they head out to Jacksonville for the first preseason game of the season, Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening against Trevor Lawrence and company. Today, a couple injuries to point out. Who did not practice today? Clyde Edwards-Helaire dealing with an illness. Also, Chris Jones dealing with that same shoulder stinger, as they called it a day ago. Good news, though, Jalen Watson not wearing that gold non-contact jersey anymore. So seems like he's good to go at this point. Also, Derek Nnadi had the pads back on. So those were a couple of the positive ends on the injury front today.
Next up on Watch Trending, a little Royals news across the way. First, in the AAA department, Daniel Lynch named Player of the Month of the International League. He had a sub-3 ERA during four starts this previous month, so good month for him in case, I don't know, something happened and they needed another arm in there. But last night, the Royals jumped game one of the series against the Red Sox, 9-5, after a rough start for Brady Singer, but an even worse outing from the bullpen. Seth Lugo will be on the mound tonight, 7-10 first pitch. He'll be right here on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Next up on What's Trending, pretty wild story out of Florida, where Florida International is selling its naming rights for their football stadium, not to a company, but to an individual.
Amazing.
International recording artist Pitbull. Yeah.
Mr. Worldwide.
He is going to pay the school $1.2 million per year the next 5 years to change the name of the FIU Stadium to Pitbull Stadium. They got to still approve it, the board of directors or whatever, our board of trustees, I guess. But
I
he's the first known musical artist to have a college stadium bear his name. They're going to open up the stadium named Pitbull Stadium against Central Michigan on September the 7th.
Just absolutely stunning. Next up on Watch Trending, an update on the U.S. Olympic count as it sits right now for the Paris Games taking place there right now. They have 76 total medals, 21 gold, sit one shy of the top gold medal getter right now, China, with 22. Picked up a couple more golds last night.
All right, there we go. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Yeah, the Pitbull thing, look, it is
incredible.
Pretty wild, though, like that
incredible.
One. An individual will be like, you know what, I want my name on this. But that happens on
that kind of dough.
That's what happens on, I mean,
what do you think Booth Memorial Stadium is?
That's what college campuses have all over the country, whether it's athletic facilities or academic buildings. They're all called blank, you know, Strong Hall or whatever, because there's some tie. Either it was a historical tie-in or someone donated money. If you could write a $50 million check, I'm sure UMKC would give you a building. If I could write a check at KU, I'm sure I would have a hallway named after me, maybe.
This is why I don't think it's embarrassing. You just think it's embarrassing because it's Pitbull. Like, if it were
a little bit
50 Cent.
Yeah.
Because this is exactly the same as David Booth Memorial State. That man wrote a big-ass check, and they put his name on the building. It's the same thing.
But he didn't write a check to get his name on the building. They put his name on the building because he donated money for other things, right? That's
sure,
the difference. This is a naming rights deal. But I hear
you. Sure, but I mean, you're just buying the name either way.
I hear you.
There's no real difference.
But Pitbull's not buying a new stadium.
No, he's just buying his name.
There is. I know. They're similar, but they're not similar. But overall, in college athletics, this is the place to do it, though.
I can't wait for the new downtown Royal Stadium named Paul Rudd Memorial. You know, and he just bought the naming rights for the new Royal Stadium downtown. I was trying to think of the richest Kansas City alum. He's probably the richest, right? Stone Street was on a lot. Sitcoms pay good money.
Well, there's still
Paul Rudd was in Marvel.
The Block family and stuff. I mean, is still.
I meant celebrity. Yeah, celebrity name.
Well, Patrick Mahomes. So
Patrick, he buys the stadium naming rights for the other team.
Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift downtown stadium.
Yeah,
dude, I'd go down to the Swift. You know, who cares? Me, you, Gold, heading downtown. Uh-huh. Sure, sounds good to me. Whatever it takes. Taylor Swift really could. She could easily afford it. $1.2 million per year.
I still do. Like, in all honesty, like, fast forward 5+ years, 10 years, I do think she'll be part of one of the ownership groups for whether it's an NFL team internationally or something. I really believe that.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I mean, it makes sense for everybody involved.
When you got that amount of money, that's just the kind of thing you
can do. In fact, I'll bank on it that in 10 years, whether it's an NFL team or an NBA team or a soccer team internationally, she will be part of an ownership group.
Sure.
And I'm not saying she's running the team, but she will be part of an ownership group and fork over the money that's required to be part of the investment group for that. All right. Earlier today, we had Drew Tranquil join us on the show, Chiefs starting linebacker. And we got some pickleball advice, but we first asked him, hey, now all of a sudden you know you're going to be around for a couple of years. Sign a new contract to stay in KC this offseason.
We're back in Kansas City, and it's been hot, but how about this breeze?
Oh, hey, this is the nicest
weather. I know you guys have been enjoying it over here.
I've been coming to St. Joe for 10 years. This might be the nicest day I've ever felt here.
It was beautiful. The fans were rocking. It was a good practice all around.
Look, we were ridiculous. So we went back up to our car and grabbed some, like, pullovers. Okay, that's how absurd the weather is.
It was a little brisk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to complain. When you guys, you come here, you think it's a one-year deal, you go through everything with this team, like, how quick were those conversations to be like, how can I get back here? You tell your agent, how do I get back here? Or is it mutual interest? How did the conversation go when you decide to come back to Kansas?
I mean, it was a one-year deal, but in my mind, like, I wanted to plant my roots here. You know, within a few weeks of being here, I knew I loved the coaching staff. I love the guys. I love the culture. And I'm a dad to 3 kids and, you know, a husband.
You want to be done moving?
You know, you don't want to be moving your family around. And a lot of guys get stuck in that cycle where, you know, they're going to multiple teams and it can make it difficult. And so I knew I wanted to work and do everything I could to make sure that, you know, we had an opportunity to plant our roots here.
What does it mean? Like, how old are your kids?
5, 3, and 1.
Oh, man. So, yeah, you're in the – I'm a couple of years ahead of you. I only have 2.
Okay.
Mine are 8 and 5.
Yeah.
So, like, at some point, I mean, have they settled into really loving Kansas City, your kids as well? Because
– yeah.
You know, they've now been here a year and a half or so?
Yeah, they've got plugged into a great school here and met some good friends. And especially my 5-year-old, he's going to be in sports this year, and our 3-year-old's going to do some dance and stuff. So, yeah, they're getting plugged in, and they like it.
Wow, you're in almost the exact same boat as me. My daughter does dance. I'm sure my son signed up for soccer. We're going to do that one first. Which sport are you doing first? Football right away? Or
My son did soccer first. He did flag football. He's done baseball. My daughter's doing dance, but she should honestly do jiu-jitsu or something. She's a riot, man. She's fun. But yeah, there'll be some sports, and we'll take in Kansas City, take in this season, and get plugged in and keep connecting with all the great people here.
We got Drew Tranquil joining us here on Cody and Gold. I saw on your Twitter profile it says pickleball enthusiast. Now this is great timing because we got kind of dragged into something here on the show. On Friday, I guess there's PickleCon that's going on in Kansas City. It's like a huge pickleball convention.
Massive tournament.
And now we've been told we're taking on another radio station. I've never played pickleball in my life, and this is happening in front of people at Bartle Hall on Friday, and I have no idea what the
hell. Any advice?
Like.
Pickleball is awesome. It's one of the most humbling things. I've played with a lot of older guys who were former tennis players, and being an athlete, you think you're going to go out there, you've got hand-eye, you've got you know, speed, you've got agility, and they humble you so quickly. It's all about angles, all about shots, all about the depth of your shot. And I'll tell you what,
this is not good. You're telling me that professional athletes are struggling with this.
Yeah,
oh,
I played. I mean, I played ping pong growing up, but I was never a racket sports guy. And I'll tell you what, pickleball has given me such a great appreciation. You watch the gold medal match that just took place in the Olympics, that tennis bout. I mean, those guys, the shots they were hitting, the intensity. I mean, they're going 3.5-4 hours just back and forth, back and forth. It's the ultimate, like, mind game. And so pickleball's all – you guys are going to enjoy it. It's hard not to like it.
Do I need to practice,
though? Should he play up? Should he play up at the net? Will that be easier for him?
So in doubles, one of you – it depends if you're serving. If you're serving, you guys are both back. The goal and the objective is to get up to the net. The shots are a little bit easier. You can create angles. And obviously, if they hit it too high in the air, you – can obviously volley a smash, but when you guys are receiving it, when they're serving to you, the guy who is not receiving the serve should be up at the net, because once you return it, you guys can then volley it out of the air.
Oh, boy.
You know who's a great pickleball player on the team is Noah Gray.
Really?
He's an awesome pickleball player.
Okay. I'll ask if we get him tomorrow.
And he loves it so much, he's like, he's telling his wife, he's like, you got to get lessons so we can be legit.
Wow.
You got
to
get
lessons. He's competitive. He wants to win.
He's competitive. He's competitive. I'm competitive, too. I want my wife to get lessons, but she's like, she likes it, but she's like, you're a little too intense. And I'm like, baby, I know. That's just how I am.
But, like, we're going to play against other couples. Like, yeah. I'll do a lot of the intense stuff, but I need you to be passable.
Exactly.
We need you to be decent. I have seen one of my favorite things of all of camp is what seems to be a lifelong battle between you and Isaiah Pacheco. So you guys have been jawing at each other, having fun. What is it about him in particular that you guys have had so much fun kind of battling it out between each other?
I'm just a little running back. You know, linebacker drama. I mean, you gotta bring a little spark. Gotta have a little fun out here in camp. He's a great player, and so whenever you get an opportunity to go against a great guy, you know, you want to create energy. Whenever you do that, it creates energy for the offense and the defense, and it's all in good spirit. I mean, we love each other. We're dapping each other up after the play, after practice, and he's a guy you want to have on your team.
So. How much better has his pass blocking gotten?
It's gotten a lot better. Earlier in camp, I got him on a few. The second time we did it, he created some good initial contact, and then today, we'll call it even. I think I beat him, but
you're called a wash.
We'll call it a wash. It's hard to tell. You're getting live bullets, and you know the quarterback's moving and whatnot, and you're able to bring it a little bit harder. You're not trying to bull rush the guys in practice. I hear you're trying to do a little move, but the running backs in general have gotten a lot better in pass pro, and you have to. I mean, It's a tough job to ask a running back to block a guy who's 230, 240 pounds coming from 10 yards off the ball full speed, and they're kind of sitting there with their feet, you know, buzzing. It's a hard task. And so we have the advantage in that drill especially, and they've gotten a lot better.
Do you think at this point in time at camp, though, do you wish you had a joint practice with another team? Are we at the point at camp where you're kind of sick of going up against your own teammates?
Nah, we'll get to go against another team. I personally don't like joint practices, but
yeah, I know Andy doesn't.
I like us getting to be out here, compete, sharpen each other. And to be honest, in my mind, we're going against the best offense in the NFL. And so, like, why joint practice when you got the best offense here already? And that's how I feel personally. And we'll have a chance to go against three other offenses, you know, in a game setting and learn from that and some other great offenses we're playing. But, yeah, I like going against our offense. And then about this time, a little bit later, it's like, all right, let's start getting ready for Baltimore.
I always just assume it gets chippier, like, it's when it's hotter. I always assume the fights happen with, like, yesterday it's hotter. You're like, yeah, I'm annoyed. I got to be out here in this heat in addition to this. That feels like prime time to be a little more annoyed.
I feel like we got a great team, though. Like, it's not really fights. Like, you see a guy do something, and they shove a guy, or they do something you didn't like maybe to one of the guys in your position group, and you give them a little friendly shove and say, you're not going to do that to my guy. And, you know, things calm down. It adds energy to practice, and guys feed off that, and you need it on those hot days to get through.
You could make the argument you guys had the number one defense in the league last year. What has Spags' message been for what his expectations are for this year's defense?
Yeah, our little saying has been D-bet, demand better, and you know, we don't want to fall off at all. We feel like there's a lot of categories we can improve on, whether it's takeaways, interceptions, rush average, average yards you're giving up per rush attempt. There's some areas we can improve on, and there's some areas we need to continue to be great at if we want to do, you know, win another championship. And so we're just focused on getting better and grinding each day. We say stack another day, and what a great day to have a day, right?
Yeah. I can't argue with the weather. I at least know that, like you said. It's not much better than being in St. Joe, at least in this, right?
It's been great. We've had a gauntlet of like a week and a half, 10 days here, and to get a nice little breeze is a nice little break.
Other than pickleball or whatever, what are you doing in the downtime? The little downtime you have right now when you're in camp in the dorm room. We had I think was it Jack Cochran that mentioned or Carl Loftus, the board
games.
Yeah,
said they've been playing Settlers of Catan. I think you mentioned you play.
We've played some Settlers of Catan. We lost both times. I'll tell you what, Leo Chenal had some beginner's luck. His second and third game ever playing, he beat us. We had a little linebackers. Justin Watson joined in on the action. So a little bit of the receiver group was there. But we've played a little bit of that. I've been watching the Olympics, watching the replays, watching it live when I can. I got a chance to watch that gold, you know, medal tennis match like I mentioned. I love the swimming, love the track and field. Watching Simone Biles and Team USA and the gymnastics has been fantastic. And I'll tell you what, the U.S. seems to be dominating. I don't know what their expectations were coming in, but I know our medal count is like 30 greater than I think China is,
I mean,
is at
right.
two.
And as of this morning, I think they had the same number of golds, too.
Yeah.
So they can't even, like,
stack. Yeah, China
that.
Was way up in the gold count, and then the U.S. has been storming back. It's pretty cool to see. So any chance you get an opportunity to watch that, I mean, the Olympics, man, it's awesome.
It's the best.
Real quick, flag football in 2026,
I
right,
heard
or
that.
Whatever it is.
2028,
2028,
yeah.
Yeah, I guess in L.A. Yeah. I, at that point in time, I don't know if they need linebackers or not or anything, but are you? Would that be something you'd be interested in?
I don't know. Hopefully, maybe we'll see if Team USA calls. I mean, that'd be something hard to turn down.
Yeah.
Drew Tranquil, Chiefs linebacker, kind enough to join us here. Appreciate it, man. Best of luck this
thanks,
season.
Guys.
So that was Drew Tranquil a little bit earlier on today with us. All our Chiefs player interviews brought to you by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip today. In 4 years, it will be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it will.
For at that time, where is everybody at in their careers? You know, quarterbacks and skill players and everything.
And, Mahomes had said he'd want to play in one if given the chance.
And it's stateside, and so that makes it a little easier. Of course, there's always the injury risk that, you know, will that be different than, you know, you're not allowed to play football. You know, Mahomes is not allowed to play basketball, right?
Yeah,
so
but
is
like
that
LeBron
different?
Is allowed to play in the Olympics. Every team
Correct.
Will make an exception for the Olympics.
I think they have to because the NFL is going to make it such a point of emphasis. The NFL is already promoting something that's not till 2028, as in it flagged football in the Olympics for the first time. So I think the NFL is going to put pressure on the teams to allow it to happen.
Yeah. That's what they want.
Of
global
course.
Growth.
Of course.
Which makes a lot of sense. The other part that stood out to me about that interview, other than like the fun stuff, he seems like a really – I'm happy he settled into Kansas City. He seems so happy to be here. All that stuff. If you listen to this interview and look at Drew's face and watch the interview later, if you go back, you can find it on YouTube since we put up the entire show on there or Facebook or Twitter, whatever. Go back and watch and look at Drew's face. There's been like maybe twice in the last week that Drew Tranquil's gotten in some little scuffle. Shove somebody, a little pushing. Someone's getting. I think Mahomes was holding Drew back yesterday.
Yep.
Whatever. If you think that means they don't get along, look at the man in the eye. He's like, it makes it fun.
Mm-hmm.
He's just picking on people because he's bored. He's getting a little scuffles because it's like, well, I got to keep the energy up, man. I got to be doing stuff. It's probably how you feel when I'm acting crazy all the time. I'm not keeping the energy up, okay? I get where Drew Tranquil's coming from. He's not. They're not actually mad at each other, I think is the point, right?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, but he also acknowledged, much like Andy, he doesn't want joint practices. Andy doesn't do it because
nope.
he doesn't want fights. The videos that were coming out the other day about Amon-Ra St. Brown and the Giants and
there was
and
a
all
second
that.
One today. There was another one today.
Andy doesn't want that because that is how players get hurt. Versus your own teammates giving each other crap and stuff. That's easier. Everybody you can easily break it.
Little
up
shove. And, I'm not doing that. You're not doing that. They didn't get a massive brawl. Someone just shoved. Someone threw a ball at Kadarius Toney because he liked
no.
or Tony
Karloff.
Threw it at somebody because Karloff just chipped him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's just normal. That's very, very – that's every practice
mm-hmm.
at every age level from, like, I don't know, seventh grade on, whatever it is. Like, it just seems kind of silly sometimes when, like, these videos come out and they try to make a big deal about it. You can see how loose and light and fun he's having.
Yeah, it was fun to talk to Tranquil. He also, I think, from the very beginning, we also saw it at the Super Bowl parade. You know, I think he really loves Kansas City. I think his family's
comfortable.
I think his family's comfortable here.
He might just make it his permanent home, even if he has to play with another team at some point.
He's very comfortable in Kansas City, and of course, he was a great addition, fantastic last year. Kind of a surprise impact that he had, and then because of that, he gets a nice deal, and he's going to be a linebacker for this team for a couple of years during this run, and hopefully gets another opportunity to get a ring. He came here to win a ring. We all know the text exchange that he tweeted out back around the Super Bowl where yep. Andy sent him that text saying, you know, think red or whatever it was.
Dream red or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. And here he is, and now he's on the team for multiple years, and a crucial piece because they don't have a lot of depth behind him. They just don't.
No. Less than they had last year because Tranquil was the depth last year. Remember, Tranquil was on here on peanuts. They barely paid the man. He rolled in for a few million bucks and made a massive impact on the defense to the point that they were willing to let Willie Gay go, a younger, technically, I don't know, equally like health problem player. Because that's the thing with Tranquil. Tranquil had a little bit of health issues in when he was playing with the Chargers. That obviously wasn't a problem last year and hasn't been a problem in the early part of this year. But he is a good energy guy. He seems like, when I think of linebackers, I think of him and Chanel and some of the other guys we've mentioned, we're just like never tired. Just 1,000 miles an hour all the time. But it is nice when you see a player, because this happens, I think, I like to think it happens more here. There are a lot of players, and when they get to Kansas City, they're like, boy, I like it here. I think I'm just going to stay here all the time. And you're like, yeah.
Well, if you have a family and stuff, and we could all speak to this, I'm sure anybody listening, like,
yeah.
It's a great place to grow up. It's a great place. You could raise a family. I mean, like, all that kind
currently
of stuff.
Currently raising my family here.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's why I wanted to come back after.
New backpack or not?
My goal was always to come back after leaving for work and working my way back to Kansas
City. You hated Houston the most?
Wichita was not great for me.
But that was a bad working environment. Did you hate the city, too, or just the working environment?
The city was okay.
I mean, it's Wichita.
Houston, the city, I mean, there was always something going on and everything, and great restaurants
crowded.
And stuff. It's just different. But Kansas City's been home.
You guys going to go tackle that bag on the slide? Somebody's been texting in for
us. Oh, because we had video pointed at the slide. No, not today we're not going
okay.
to. Although I will say,
the
jackets are off because it is gorgeous outside.
Get outside.
Gorgeous
today.
Outside.
It's been so miserably hot. It feels fantastic. I don't know if it feels good in Kansas City. It feels fantastic here.
It's great. We're back here tomorrow. Come up to training camp. Say hello to us. Thanks to our training camp coverage sponsors, Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. We're back here tomorrow. We'll be talking a little bit more about not only what we saw at camp, but what the Royals are doing in this series against the Red Sox. But now we're going to hand things off to C-Dot and Rob on the drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.